Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God.
Amen.
It's a refreshing, isn't it? Refreshing to be in the house of the Lord. I've entitled today's message, The Chain of Faith. The Chain of Faith. And I'd like to begin by reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning with verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Brothers and sisters, when each of you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you began a spiritual journey, just like Abraham began a physical journey. By faith, you obeyed when the Lord called you out of the place you were in before you knew Him. And by faith, you began a journey toward a place that God has prepared for you. A place the Apostle Peter calls an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. One that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Like Abraham, you too are dwelling by faith in a foreign land, a world that is at enmity with God and in conflict with God's holiness. So today we're going to talk about the importance of faith. Faith like Abraham had. The faith that we need as God's children to lead us, to guide us, and to protect us as we go through life on the way toward our heavenly inheritance. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for being the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for bringing us up out of the miry clay, for setting our feet up upon a rock and directing our steps. Thank you for giving us the gifts of the Spirit, your grace, your power, and your abundant blessings to help us on our journey. We thank you for giving us abundant life here on earth and for giving us the hope and assurance of heaven to come, where we long to one day hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." Use this imperfect vessel to speak words of hope and encouragement into the lives of your people today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Abraham's father, a man named Terah, lived in a region of Mesopotamia called Ur of the Chaldeans. And at some point, Terah decided to pack up the family and leave Ur and begin migrating westward toward the land of Canaan. Let's go to the Word of God in Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. And Terah took his son Abram, that's Abraham. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife. And they went out from them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to the city of Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now Haran was about halfway between Ur and Canaan, and that's where Terah stopped and settled and eventually died. After his father died, Abraham probably asked himself the question, What do I do now? Do I just stay here in Haran halfway to the promised land and quit? Do I forfeit the promises and blessings of God that are still ahead of me? Do I just stay here and stop living? Or do I press on in faith and head toward the land of blessing that God has prepared for me and my family? Now, Abraham could have stayed in Haran for the rest of his life. He could have just given up and stopped. But by faith, Abraham knew that God still had a hope and a future for him. He believed that God was calling him and his family to a better place. Let's continue in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So at the age of 75, let me say that again. At the age of 75, Abraham set out to finish the journey that his father had started. In faith and without wavering, Abraham left Haran and pressed on toward Canaan, the land of blessing. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I imagine that, like Abraham, many of you in this congregation have lost people that were your support system. Maybe you lost your parents, your spouse, close family members, or dear friends. If you haven't yet, chances are that sooner or later you will lose someone dear to you, someone close to you, someone on whom you relied for support. And when that happens, we all have to ask ourselves the question, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? Do I give up and stop living, or do I step out in faith and believe that God still has a hope and a future and a purpose and an abundant life for me? When my father died about 16 years ago, I got really concerned about my mother. They had been married for 48 years, and for that entire time, her life revolved around him. He was the center of her universe. And when he died, I didn't know how she was going to react. I fully expected her just to sit at home in the dark and pine away from grief and loneliness and lose her will to live. But it's a testimony to the grace and power of God that after my father died, my mother picked herself up and started going to church regularly. She started making friends. She started getting involved with other people and serving in her church. She found a new purpose for her life.
Amen.
She was almost 74 years old when my father died, but even at that age, she was still willing to make that change and step out and form new relationships and find new purpose within the body of Christ. So brothers and sisters, whether you are 9 or 90, whether you are single, widowed, or divorced, God has not left your side. He has a hope and a future for you, and if you're just willing to put your faith in Him and let Him direct your steps, He will help you to find joy and fulfillment and new purpose for your life.
Amen.
Scripture tells us that when Abraham left Haran and started toward Canaan, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't have Google on his computer. He didn't have a map on his cell phone. He didn't have GPS in his car. He had to rely completely on God to lead him in the right direction. He didn't know how long the journey was going to take. He didn't know what tests and trials and obstacles he would encounter along the way. He had to walk by faith, not by sight. But through that faith, God safely guided Abraham all the way from Haran to Canaan, a distance of about 400 miles. Now, I want you to think back to the day when you first gave your life to Jesus. Maybe it was 50 years ago, maybe it was 50 minutes ago. But whenever it was, when you turned your life over to Jesus, you were just like Abraham leaving Haran and taking that first step of faith toward Canaan. You left your old life behind and you set out on a journey to live for God. Yes. But praying the prayer of faith and getting saved isn't the end of the journey, it's just the beginning. Faith is not a one-time event. Faith is continuous. Faith is something we walk in and live in on a daily basis. Let's look at the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what?
Faith.
By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In fact, can we just all read this verse together?
Yes.
Let's all read it together. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Abraham had to walk in faith and listen to God every day to know which direction to go, where to find food, water, and shelter, how to provide for his family, how to cope with difficulties, obstacles, and opposition, and how to get to his destination safely. Just like Abraham, we're on a journey too, a faith journey. And God doesn't necessarily tell us where every bump in the road is going to be as we progress on that journey. God wants us to learn to trust him and to walk by faith, not by sight. He wants us to be able to look past our present trials and tribulations and pain and sorrows. He wants us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because Jesus is the one who has gone ahead to prepare a place for us. Jesus is the source of all comfort. Jesus is the source of all joy. Jesus is the source of all peace. Jesus is the one who will one day give us glorified bodies and glorified minds. And Jesus is the one who will one day wipe away every tear from our eyes.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, so far, I've talked a lot about faith, but I haven't really defined for you what faith is or how it operates. If you ask someone to define faith, they might define it as believing in God. And believing in God is certainly an important aspect of faith. But Scripture tells us that even the demons believe in God. So if our faith never goes beyond simply believing in God, then we're no further along than the demons. So what I'd like to suggest to you today is that faith is more than simply believing in God. Faith is also a life process, a process that has a start, a stop, and steps in between. I call this process the chain of faith, the chain of faith. Vivian, if you could put that slide up I gave you, please. There are five links in the chain of faith. If you're taking notes, this is a good one to take. The five links in the chain of faith are seeking the Lord, hearing his voice, believing his word, obeying him, and persevering. Seeking the Lord, hearing his voice, believing his word, obeying him, and persevering in whatever he has called us to do. For a chain to work properly and fulfill its purpose, every link has to be strong and in good working order. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to live by faith and walk by faith, then all five of these links need to be functioning in our lives. If we want to have abundant blessings, if we want to have victorious lives, if we want to overcome the world, and if we want to defeat the devil, then we need to train ourselves every day and in every situation to seek the Lord, to hear his voice, to believe what he says to us, to obey it, and finally to persevere until there's a breakthrough and the victory comes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
So now I'd like to take a closer look at each of these links individually. The first link in the chain of faith is seeking the Lord. Let's take a look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what?
Diligently
seek him. God promises us that if we seek him, we will find him, if we search for him with all our hearts. The psalmist David said, I have set the Lord always before me. God should be the first thing we think about when we wake up in the morning and the last thing we think about when we go to bed at night. He should be in our thoughts all day long. But we live in a world full of distractions, don't we? And the devil will try to use every trick and every temptation he has to distract us, to disrupt our thoughts, and to divert our attention away from God. If we want to hear from God, and believe me, I'm preaching to myself here. If we want to hear from God, we have to discipline ourselves to set aside time to seek him and to hear him, to hear from him. And as painful as it is to say, that might even mean putting down the cell phone or turning off the TV or getting off the internet for a few minutes. Oh, horrors. How many of you have a morning routine that you go through where you do the same things the same way at the same time pretty much every morning? Have a morning routine? Yeah, I do too. And until recently, my morning routine would go something like this. I would wake up, get out of bed, get cleaned up and dressed, eat breakfast, read the newspaper, check my cell phone, go brush my teeth, and head off to work. But God was not part of my morning routine. And one day, he spoke to me in that still, small voice of his, and he lovingly said to me, my son, can you spare just a few minutes to visit with me every morning before you start your busy day? So lately, I've been trying to discipline myself to set aside some quiet time with God for just a few minutes every morning before I do anything else, to read from a daily devotional, to pray and meditate on God's word. And I've discovered that spending just a few minutes in God's presence first thing in the morning really helps to set the tone for the rest of the day.
Amen.
It will improve your mood. It will improve your attitude. You'll feel more peaceful and you'll have a more positive outlook for the rest of the day. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything inherently wrong with checking your cell phone or reading the newspaper or turning on the TV in the morning. But spending just a few minutes with God in prayer and meditation, reading a few verses from the Bible or a page from a daily devotional is a great way to prepare you for the day and help you to set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth.
Amen.
Vivian, if you could put that slide up again, please. After seeking the Lord, the next link in the chain of faith is hearing what God is saying. If we want to live by faith and walk by faith, we have to be able to hear from God. God told Abraham, "Get out of your country and go to a land that I will show you." Now, if Abraham had not been listening to God, and if Abraham had not heard what God said, his journey to Canaan would never have begun. He would have just stayed where he was in Haran and never would have moved. He would have been perfectly happy and content to stay where he was, only halfway to the promised land, blissfully ignorant of the blessings and the future that God had waiting for him. But because Abraham heard God, he knew that blessing was out there, if only he would step out in faith and go toward it. In Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says this, "So then faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." For those of us who have the desire to seek Him and take time to listen, the Word of God can come to us in many different ways. God will speak to you through His written Word, the Bible. He'll speak to you through books and devotionals written by godly men and women. He'll speak to you through prayer and meditation and your quiet time with Him. He'll speak to you through your conscience to warn you when you're going astray. He'll speak to you through your intuition to let you know when danger is near. He'll speak to you through godly pastors and teachers who love and care for the sheep. And He'll speak to you through godly brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, like this church, who can give you wise counsel. Brothers and sisters, I believe that we're living in the end times, and God warns us that in the end times, there will be a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord.
Amen.
In today's world, it's going to take extra effort, extra commitment, and extra discipline to hear that still small voice of God. But God promises us that if we seek Him, we will find Him if we search for Him with all our heart.
That's right.
Vivian, if you could put that slide up again, please. After seeking the Lord and hearing His voice, the next link in the chain of faith is believing His word. Believing what God has said to you. Believing God is important because unbelief hinders God's ability to work in your life. When Jesus went to Nazareth to minister to the people there, the scripture says he did not do many mighty works there because of their what?
Unbelief.
Because of their unbelief. Unbelief hinders God's ability to work in your life. Now, believing God may seem like an obvious thing to do, but it's not as easy as it sounds. Sometimes we hear God, but we choose not to believe Him, usually because what we hear God saying conflicts with what we've already decided. As the father of four sons, I can tell you from personal experience that just because a child hears you, it does not necessarily mean that he will believe you. Have you ever tried to convince a four-year-old to take some medicine or sit still for a shot? "Johnny, you need this medicine. You need this shot. It'll make you feel better. You need it to get well." But little Johnny's having none of it, right? He hears what you're saying, but he doesn't believe it. All he knows is that stuff you're trying to cram in his mouth stinks and tastes bad, and the shot that he's about to get is going to hurt. In our story about Abraham, God said, "Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you and make your name great, and in you all the families of earth shall be blessed." Now, Abraham heard God, but he didn't have to believe him. Abraham could have doubted God, he could have argued with God, he could have given God a whole list of reasons why what God said just wasn't possible, and why he needed to stay right where he was in Haran. But Abraham chose to believe God and take him at his word.
Amen.
He believed God and take him at his word. We sing a song about that, don't we? You know, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. You know, just to take him at his word. In Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, Scripture says this. He, talking about Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Brothers and sisters, when you hear God speaking to you and calling you to step out in faith so that he can bless you and bless those around you, please don't respond by doubting him and arguing with him and listing all the reasons why it's just not possible and why God just can't use you. Nothing is impossible with God. And if you only believe him and allow him to use you, as imperfect as you are, you will see God's mighty miracle working power unleashed in your life and in the lives of those around you. Broken hearts will be mended, broken families will be restored, financial needs will be met, souls will be saved, diseases will be healed, captives will be set free, and lives will be changed.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at the slide again, please, Vivian. So after we've sought the Lord, after we've heard his voice, and after we've believed his word, the next link in the chain of faith is to obey him and to do what he has told us to do. Let's look at our opening scripture again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham what?
Obeyed.
Obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. The key word in this verse is obeyed. Abraham obeyed. You remember the story of Jonah, the prophet Jonah. God spoke to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh with a message of repentance because otherwise God was going to destroy that great city. Did Jonah hear the word of the Lord? Yes, he did. Did Jonah believe that God was going to destroy Nineveh? Yes, he did. Did Jonah obey God when God told him to go? No, he didn't. Jonah's chain of faith was broken. He heard and he believed, but he didn't obey. At least not until he spent 3 days and nights in the belly of a huge fish. Don't be like Jonah. When God speaks to you, believe him and then obey him. Scripture tells us plainly that faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. Faith without follow-through is dead. Seeking, hearing, and believing God is fine, but that's just the beginning of faith. It's not the end. For faith to be effective, it must result in action. That action might be something really grand, like becoming a missionary in a foreign land, or starting an orphanage, or having a television ministry, or publishing a book or something. And I'm certainly not belittling those works. God can and does call people to do those things. But more often than not, God calls us to express our faith daily in many small ways. In the way that husbands show love toward their wives. The way that wives submit to the godly leadership of their husbands. The way parents train up their children. The way children and teenagers obey their parents. the way we treat others and meet their needs, both in the church and outside of it, the way we conduct ourselves in our businesses and workplaces, the way we support our pastors and our church and encourage other believers. And most importantly, our faith is expressed every day in the way that we represent Jesus Christ in a world that desperately needs him. Let's look at the slide again. After seeking the Lord, hearing his voice, believing his word, and obeying him, the next and last link in the chain of faith is persevering, not giving up. Sometimes God calls us to do things that are very quick and easy to do, like perhaps giving some money to a homeless person we pass on the sidewalk, or putting some food in the basket out in the foyer. But other times the task that God calls us to do is lengthy and requires patience, persistence, determination, and effort. How many of you know that life is not like the Brady Bunch or Leave It to Beaver, where every problem can be neatly solved in 30 minutes? Sure, I think we can all agree on that. We all know that problems in real life are rarely solved that quickly. Yes, we all love the miracles of God. Oh, we love it when we lay hands on a person and that person is instantly healed. And we love the testimonies of people who needed money and then miraculously found it in their mailbox the next day.
Woo, hallelujah. Yes.
But sometimes the miracle doesn't come immediately or instantaneously. Sometimes the miracle comes only after prayer, patience, and perseverance.
Yes.
Perseverance may be the last link in the chain of faith, but it's also the most important, because without perseverance, without that follow through, how well we do with the first four links doesn't matter. If we are going to live by faith and walk by faith, we not only have to seek, hear, believe, and obey God, but we also have to grit our teeth and press on toward the finish line with persistence and determination.
Amen.
In his book called A Man After God's Own Heart, the Christian writer Jim George put it this way: it's not how you start that's important, it's how well you finish. I'd like to say that again. It's not how well you start that's important, it's how well you finish.
Amen.
But I want to reassure you that God will not ask you to do a work without also providing you with the physical and spiritual resources you need to carry out that work. His grace is sufficient for whatever he has given you to do, and his strength will be perfected in your weakness. All he asks is that you go in the strength that you have, keep going until you get to the promised land, and don't give up. When Abraham left Haran, he still had to travel another 400 miles to get to Canaan. I'm sure it was not an easy journey. I'm sure that Abraham encountered difficulties and opposition along the way. He may have been tempted at times to give up, just like his father did, and just settle somewhere else. But because Abraham persevered, he reached his destination and he obtained the blessing that God had promised to him and to his descendants forever. And brothers and sisters, in case you didn't know it, Scripture says that those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus are also children of Abraham, and that we're included in that blessing too.
Amen. Amen.
If you would, please stand with me. And bow your heads. One day, Jesus asked his disciples a question. He said, "When I return, will I find faith on the earth?" If Jesus were to return today, would he find his people walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, seeking him with all their heart, listening to his voice and believing and obeying his word with steadfast determination? Or would he find his people departed from the faith, spiritually deaf, spiritually asleep, unbelieving, disobedient, walking in defeat instead of walking in faith and power and victory? Brothers and sisters, when Jesus returns, we want him to see us walking in faith and power and victory. We want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
But maybe your faith is a little weak right now, and you're struggling to be the man or woman of faith that you know God wants you to be. Perhaps the cares and distractions and busyness of life are keeping you from seeking the Lord like you want to and hearing his voice. Perhaps you're having doubts and fears and insecurity that make it hard to trust God and serve him the way you know you should. Perhaps like Jonah, you've heard clearly from God, you know what he has called you to do, but honestly, you just don't want to do it and you want to run the other way. Or perhaps you're just tired and exhausted and overwhelmed. You love the Lord and you want to serve him, but you're discouraged and ready to give up. If any of the things that I've just said apply to you, then I'd like to ask you to please come to the front and let's pray. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, but you would like to, then I would also like to invite you to come forward as well and let me know so that I can pray especially for you. If any of these things apply to you, then please come forward and let's pray. Don't be embarrassed to come forward. You won't be alone.